Mildred, he said at last. There are too many of us, he thought. There are billions of us, and that's too many. Nobody knows anyone. Strangers come and violate you. Strangers come and cut your heart out. Strangers come and take your blood. Good God, who were those men? I never saw them before in my life. Half an hour passed. The bloodstream in this woman was new, and it seemed to have done a new thing to her. Her cheeks were very pink, and her lips were very fresh and full of color, and they looked soft and relaxed. Someone else's blood there. If only someone else's flesh and brain and memory. If only they could have taken her mind along to the dry cleaners and emptied the pockets and steamed and cleansed it and reblocked it and brought it back in the morning. If only. He got up and put back the drapes and opened the windows wide to let the night air in. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. Was it only an hour ago? Clarice McClellan in the street, and him coming in, and the dark room, and his foot kicking the little crystal bottle? Only an hour, but the word had melted down and sprung up in a new and colorless form. Laughter blew across the moon-colored lawn from the house of Clarice and her father and mother and the uncle who smiled so quietly and so earnestly. Above all, their laughter was relaxed and hearty and not forced in any way, coming from the house that was so brightly lit this late at night while all the other houses were kept to themselves in darkness. Montag heard the voices talking, 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 giving, talking, weaving, reweaving their hypnotic web. Montag moved out through the French windows and crossed the lawn without even thinking of it. He stood outside the talking house in the shadows, thinking he might even tap on their door and whisper, "Let me come in. I won't say anything. I just want to listen. What is it you're saying?" But instead he stood there, very cold, his face a mask of ice, listening to a man's voice, the uncle, moving along at an easy pace.
"Well, after all, this is the age of the disposable tissue. Blow your nose on a person, wad them, flush them away, reach for another, blow, wad, flush. Everybody's using everyone else's coattails. How are you supposed to root for the home team when you don't even have a program or know the names? For that matter, what color jerseys are they wearing as they trot out on the field?"
Montag moved back to his own house, left the window wide, checked Mildred, tucked the covers about her carefully, and then laid down with the moonlight on his cheekbones and on the frowning ridges in his brow, with the moonlight distilled in each eye to form a silver cataract there. One drop of rain, Clarice. Another drop, Mildred. A third, the uncle. A fourth, the fire tonight. One, Clarice. Two, Mildred. Three, uncle. Four, fire. One, Mildred. Two, Clarice. One, two, three, four, five, Clarice. Mildred, uncle, fire, sleeping tablets, men, disposable tissue, coattails, blow, wad, flush, Clarice, Mildred, uncle, fire, tablets, tissue, blow, wad, flush, one, two, three, one, two, three, rain, the storm, the uncle laughing, thunder falling downstairs, the whole world pouring down, the fire gushing up in a volcano, all rushing on, down, around, in a spouting roar and rivering stream toward morning. "I don't know anything anymore," he said, and let a sleep lozenge dissolve on his tongue. At 9 in the morning, Mildred's bed was empty. Montag got up quickly, his heart pumping, and ran down the hall and stopped at the kitchen door. Toast popped out of the silver toaster, was seized by a spidery metal hand that drenched it with melted butter. Mildred watched the toast delivered to her plate. She had both ears plugged with electronic bees that were humming the hour away. She looked up suddenly, saw him, and nodded. "You all right?" he asked. She was an expert at lip reading from 10 years of apprenticeship at Seashell Ear Thimbles. She nodded again. She set the toaster clicking away at another piece of bread. Montag sat down. His wife said,
I don't know why I should be so hungry.
You?
I'm hungry.
Last night, he began.
Didn't sleep well. Feel terrible, she said. God, I'm hungry. I can't figure it.
Last night, he said again. She watched his lips casually.
What about last night?
Don't you remember?
What, did we have a wild party or something? I feel like I'm a hangover. God, I'm hungry. Who was here?
A few people, he said.
That's what I thought.
She chewed her toast.
Sore stomach, but I'm hungry is all get out. Hope I didn't do anything foolish at the party.
No, he said quietly. The toaster spidered out a piece of buttered bread for him. He held it in his hand, feeling obligated.
You don't look so hot yourself, said his wife.
In the late afternoon, it rained, and the entire world was dark gray. He stood in the hall of his house, putting on his badge with the orange salamander burning across it. He stood looking up at the air conditioning vent in the hall for a long time. His wife, in the TV parlor, paused long enough from reading her script to glance up.
Hey, she said. The man's thinking.
Yes, he said. I wanted to talk to you. He paused. You took all the pills in your bottle last night.
Oh, I wouldn't do that,
she said, surprised. The bottle was empty.
I wouldn't do a thing like that. Why would I do a thing like that? She said.
Maybe you took two pills and forgot, and took two more and forgot again, and took two more and were so dopey you kept right on until you had 30 or 40 of them in you.
Heck, she said. What would I want to go and do a silly thing like that for?
I don't know, he said. She was quite obviously waiting for him to go.
I didn't do that, she said. Never in a billion years.
All right, if you say so, he said.
That's what the lady said.
She turned back to her script.